Aloha. Welcome to worship at Christ Church Uniting, to those gathered here in Kailua, Hawaii, and to those joining us from your home or office or wherever you might be watching the service. My name is Diane Brookins, and I am the worship leader today. Joining me in leading worship this morning is the Reverend Brittany Alexander. Brittany currently serves as a chaplain with St. Francis Hospice. She's an alumna of Berklee School of Theology and is ordained through the Disciples of Christ, withstanding in the United Church of Christ and through the Baptist denomination. Brittany served churches in Arizona, where she grew up, as well as in California, and has called Oahu home for the past 4 years. Brittany, we are so pleased to welcome you to CCU. Whenever we gather as a community, we light this candle to remind ourselves of the presence of Jesus, the light of the world. And there we go. The light of the world has entered the sanctuary. This light reminds us that Jesus is always with us, within us, and that he calls us to reflect his light and love in our lives and relationships. Now, will you join me in a brief word of prayer or contemplation? Loving God, in this Thanksgiving week, we are reminded to count our blessings, to be truly mindful of all that we have to be grateful for. As we gather this morning together in this space or each in our homes, we are grateful for this community of faith. We are grateful for our beautiful island home. We are grateful for meaningful work, and we are grateful for the opportunity to rest from our labors. We are grateful for the friends and family who support us on our journey. And we are grateful that you have promised to walk with us as well. Thank you, Lord, for all the ways in which you have blessed us. Please be with us as we worship here today. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So now let us show our gratitude for the peace of Christ in our own lives by sharing signs of peace with each other. If you're online, you might type a peace emoji in the chat, or maybe you catch someone's eye to share a peace sign or to softly say, "May the peace of Christ be with you." Let's take a moment now to share signs of peace with each other. As we settle into our time together, we invite you to listen as we share our opening hymn this morning here in this place. Thank you. I see we have some Keiki in the house. If any of our
Hi,
Keiki
kids.
Are joining from home,
welcome to my morning.
Lisa, thank you, Beth. if any of our Keiki are joining us from home, please let us know you're here by saying hi in the comments. Auntie Beth has prepared a special message just for you.
Hi, kids. Welcome to my morning run. I'm a little out of breath. It's what I like to do every morning, and it's a great time to connect with God. And I love being near water. And I find water so enriching and healing. And in the Bible, there's so many times when water is involved in cleansing and healing and remembering the love that God gives to us each and every day. Today, I'm here in my hometown of Tracy, Minnesota, out at a little lake. And it doesn't really matter where I am because I do my morning kind of ritual of running. So I put my shoes on and my sweaty clothes, and I go out and I talk with God and listen for God's gift of the day, look for it in the beauty that surrounds me no matter where I'm at, and hopefully ground myself for the day ahead. So my encouragement to you kids and anyone else who's listening is to find your own rituals, whether it involves walking or running or simply being near water or drinking a big glass of water to refresh your body and soul, and to start your day remembering that God loves you and refreshes you and is along with you on your journey. Let's pray. Dear loving and creative God, no matter where we walk or run or roll, you are with us, and we are so grateful for this gift of your love. Amen.
Our scripture reading is from Psalm 103. Listen to these words of scripture, and in them, the Spirit's word to you. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works vindication and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always accuse, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he removes our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him. For he knows how we were made. He remembers that we are dust. As for mortals, their days are like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, obedient to his spoken word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers that do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Mahalo for welcoming me into your community and inviting me to bring the good news. It is good to be together in body and in spirit as we set aside some time to think about gratitude. I hope you will allow me this morning to be a little bit of a word nerd, a little bit of a language nerd, because as I was preparing to speak to you today, I could not pry my attention away from some of the words that we and the ancients use to talk about gratitude. I have used one of those words already this morning, mahalo. A colleague of mine once told me that mahalo can be separated into three words, ma, within, ha, breath of life, alo, in the presence of. What a rich word. In one word, the idea of being within the presence of the breath of life. In one word, the acknowledgement that each breath is a gift. It draws our attention to those who breathe with us. Mahalo. It stirs the sense that these gifts are to be honored and celebrated and protected. I am reminded of the creation myth in Genesis when God uses God's own breath to breathe life into creation, that the very act of breathing and sharing breath contains gratitude. We don't really have a word quite like mahalo in scripture, but the sentiment is there. And the idea of gratitude is almost always synonymous with thanksgiving in a liturgical sense. The idea that God has done good things and this generates thanksgiving, worship, praise. There are more than seven different words in the ancient Hebrew for giving thanks, and each with a slightly different connotation. There is a word for giving thanks in the form of singing. There's a word for giving thanks with an instrument. A word for giving thanks in loud shouting. The word in the psalm that was read today, translated as bless, is barak. And barak connotes the idea of kneeling while giving thanks. There is a sense of physicality to it, literally to break down. In the case of this psalm, the image that we get is a bending of the knee under the weight of recognizing that which is done on our behalf. Recognizing what is freely given that is neither deserved nor requested. There are two other words in the ancient Hebrew, and they are used most frequently. The first is todah, which means thanksgiving and has probably the broadest application. The second word is yada, and yada is the root of toda, the root of thanksgiving. And it literally means to hold out the hand. One of the most frequently used words to express giving thanks, and it is not singing, it is not shouting, it is not anything that we might associate with joy or praise. Instead, we are given this image of a hand extended. All of these words together appear in the psalm more than anywhere else in Scripture. And that might be the reason that the entire book of Psalms is called Songs of Praise. And yet, we have words of thanksgiving with very clear connotations of joy and others that are tinged with something weighty, something almost somber. More interesting still is that most of the Psalms are officially categorized as lament. Not praise, not thanksgiving, lament. The majority of the Psalms sound like, out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Thank you. Yes. Right on cue. The majority of the Psalms sound like, my God, why have you forsaken me? They sound like, my tears have been my food day and night, while people continually say to me, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I led them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of thanksgiving. Yet why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you disquieted? How long must I bear this pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? What kind of praise is this? When I lived in Arizona, my home church of 17 years experienced a lot of upheaval. There were a number of events over those years that were very destabilizing and disorienting for this community. Women were beginning to take on leadership roles, and the church was ordaining them. A few prominent and ordained leaders were outed as LGBTQ. And as a community that was originally founded on Southern Baptist principles, these issues shook them to their theological core. To cope with the grief of the divisions that were clearly reaching a boiling point, they turned to a more contemplative style of worship. The worship was quiet, it was prayer-centric, and very often the music was a single instrument or just a few voices. But there were deacons and more vocal members of the community who did not like this new style. Worship was a time to be happy. It's a time to rejoice, to be grateful. This is not a time to get bogged down in problems. Certain psalms were even referenced as biblical evidence of what worship should be. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness and singing. Let the faithful exult in glory. Let them sing for joy. Praise God with trumpet, lute, and harp, with tambourine and clanging cymbals. One member, let's call him Tim, frequently complained, "What kind of worship is this? Worship is not supposed to be sad. Worship is supposed to be loud and upbeat and happy. Make a joyful noise." The disagreement over the worship was the proverbial last straw. Many members of the church left, Tim and his family among them. Tim really got stuck in what I think happens to us all as humans. We desire something easy, something clear, something uncomplicated. And we kind of like that, right? We kind of like the clear, we like uncomplicated. We'd prefer on some level to just rejoice and be glad and not dwell too much on that other stuff. And sometimes it is that simple. Sometimes we are overcome by delight and giving thanks for even the smallest of things. Lush grass, good friends, blue sky, cool ocean. And this is wonderful, and this is good. But what about when it feels like Thanksgiving is not accessible? What about when the complicated reality of life rears its head and the circumstances are anything but clear, are anything but easy? The breath of life is disorienting. The breath of life is full of struggle and responsibility. From the first gasping, startling breaths of a baby born into a new and strange world, to the exasperated breaths of arguments and divisions, to the final sighing breath of a kupuna, to the aching breaths that visit sharply in the midst of change and loss. We did not ask for it, but here we are in the midst of existence, breathing through the very real and muddy realities of life. The psalmist knows that grief is intimately bound up with giving thanks and does not try to pretend otherwise. In the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord. In the night, my hand is outstretched without wearying. My soul refuses to be comforted. I think of God and I moan. I meditate and my spirit faints. Even here, yet again, we are confronted with a form of the root of thanksgiving. In the night, my hand is outstretched. In the disorientation of the human experience, the psalmist's response is to hold out the hand, literally holding the present human reality in all its complexity, in all its raw fragility, before the one who sees him. And in this moment, this offering, this being seen, a song of lament somehow becomes a psalm of thanksgiving. I have for you now one final psalm. It's written by Jan Richardson. And as I read, I invite you, wherever you are, to close your eyes, if that's comfortable for you, and really try to sink into this moment and receive. I should tell you at the outset, this blessing will require you to do some work. First, you must simply let this blessing fall from your hand, as if it were a small thing you could easily let slip through your fingers, as if it were not the most precious to you, as if your life did not depend on it. Next, you must trust that this blessing knows where it is going, that it understands the ways of the dark, that it is wise to seasons and to times. Then, and I know this blessing has already asked much of you, it is to be hoped that you will rest and learn that something is at work when all seems still, when all seems dormant, seems dead. I promise you this blessing has not abandoned you. I promise you this blessing is on its way back to you. I promise you when you are least expecting it, when you have given up your last hope, this blessing will rise, green and new and whole. Amen.
We come now to a time of sharing our joys and concerns so we can uplift each other in prayer. That is one of the most important things we do as a faith community. If you are joining us from home, please type your prayer requests into the comments so we can be in prayer with you during the week. And please continue to send your prayer requests to our prayer email, prayers@ccukailua.org. to be gathered into our Monday email. For now, please join me in a spirit of prayer or contemplation as we say, loving and gracious God, thank you for the privilege of bringing our joys and concerns to you in prayer. For those who are hurting, we pray for healing. For those who are lonely, we pray for community. For those who are anxious, we pray for peace. For those who despair, we pray for hope. Lord, as a community, we lift up all of our prayers, those spoken aloud and those that remain in our hearts. We know you hear them all. Hear us now as we join together to pray the prayer you gave us saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Honoring our Disciples of Christ heritage, we celebrate communion every week. When we come to this table, we remember that Jesus sat at the table with his disciples the night he would be arrested and betrayed. Knowing what lay ahead for him, Jesus gave the gift of this sacrament to his closest friends and allies as a way for them to remember him. And we do remember that after supper, Jesus took the bread and he broke it, saying, This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup and he said, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. In it, you can pour your hopes and fears, your dreams, your need for grace. When you drink of this cup, remember me. If you are joining from home, perhaps you have a morsel and a beverage handy. If you're here in the sanctuary, we are still communing with these little cups that contain a wafer and a bit of grape juice. Whatever elements you have available to you, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us share in this meal together. Now we come to a time of considering how we will support the mission and ministry of this community with our financial commitment, through volunteering our time, and through sharing our talents. If you are joining us virtually, there will be an online giving link and a link where you can sign up to bring flowers to beautify the altar on Sunday mornings. While we contemplate what offerings we each will make, let's listen to Kalua play the doxology. So, announcements. This is where we share announcements about the life and of this community. I'm going to start by acknowledging that the flowers this morning are from me in celebration of and gratitude for the birthday of my daughter Jessica on November 23rd. And thanks very much to Paul Brennan for adding his grateful wood carving, which was perfect. Thank you very much, sir. So, a reminder that pledge cards were due by November 15th, but it's not too late. Pledge cards can still be returned in the giving basket here.
Okay, we'll do it this way. At what point did I go out? Where shall I retract to? Are we good? All right. Awesome. CCU will be hosting a blood drive on Sunday, December 12th from 8 a.m. until 3 p.m. right in the church parking lot. You can reserve a time using the link in the email by emailing the office or by calling the blood bank. Dana will be on vacation Friday, November 19th through Monday, November 29th. And I hope you enjoy your vacation, and I'm sure we have a way to cover, perhaps not to Dana's standards, but if you need something, you let us know, okay? And we will once again welcome our own Reverend Paul Brennan to deliver the message next week. So thank you again, Paul. I think the other Paul, yeah, Paul Belanger wants to share a word about Advent plans.
My turn. Hey, we're really excited. Oh, hello. I'm afraid to lose my hearing aids, which has happened. Advent, first Sunday of Advent next week already. And I remember last Christmas saying, first thing you know, we'll be talking about getting back up to Christmas again. In any case, it's going to be a very exciting Advent series. We've got the whole thing already put together. Advent is all about hope, peace, joy, love, and Christmas Eve. And the theme is the inn, preparing the inn, or the barn, or the manger, or the stable, whatever you choose to call it. And so it's a very exciting season. Next Saturday, around 8:30 in the morning, we need to green the sanctuary. Got people, Rollo's going to help me early in the morning to do the outside. If people are able to, I need some volunteers to help prepare the inn for Advent, okay? Got to get the Christmas tree up, got to get the greens up, got to help Paul set some things up over here. So 8:30 would be a good time to come in if you're willing and able to help us out. Next Saturday, this coming Saturday, as we get ready. And I don't want to give anything else away, so just get ready. It's going to be a wonderful season. Thank you.
That announcement and for all the work you're doing to get us ready for Advent. So that's what I've got. Please keep an eye out for the emails we send as they contain important information about the life of our community. And now let us continue in worship with our closing hymn, Praise to the Lord the Almighty.
Thank you.
May the one who sees you bless you and keep you now and always. Go in the grace and peace of God.